Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Well, the Beatles pretty much got it right on that one. I'm Jim Burns, and everybody does need love, and each one of us has been wired by God with the capacity to be a loving person. So why is it that there are so many lonely people in the world today, and people who feel unloved? My guest today on Homeward believes that the answer to that question is pretty basic and that each of us needs a better understanding of what it means to love and be loved. Well, during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with my good friend, Dr. John Townsend. He's the author of the brand new book, Loving People. And if you ever have been wounded or rejected by someone you love, you're going to find hope. You're going to find healing for your hurts today. So stay with us right here because Homeward starts right now.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, are you a fan of APU on Facebook yet? When you become a fan of APU on Facebook, you can watch videos and learn about upcoming events, read up on current students' experiences, and more. All you have to do to get started is go to facebook.com/Azusa Pacific, and you can get all dialed in there. Today here on the program, part two of a continuing conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. John Townsend, talking about how to love and be loved. And this is a great conversation for spouses, of course, because we want to communicate that with our spouses, but also between parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. So if you want to learn more about really the biblical model for loving people, you've tuned to the right place. Now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Continuing conversation with Dr. John Townsend, how to love and be loved. John Townsend is a psychologist, popular speaker, noted author of great books, the Boundaries series, Boundaries with Teens, Who's Pushing Your Buttons. Personally, John Townsend has influenced me in great ways, and his Boundaries series has influenced the world, it seems like. He co-wrote that with Dr. Henry Cloud. He also co-hosts the nationally syndicated radio broadcast, New Life Live, and he lives with his wife and his two sons in Southern California. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Jim.
Great to have you. I'm thinking of the typical mom, and many ways the typical dad. I call them lonely husband, lonely wife. Mm. You know, they're busy, busy, busy. They're working from morning until night, and they're doing good things. I mean, they're going to their kids' games. They're at the dance recital. They're volunteering in school. They're working hard. But, you know, they kind of drop into bed 6 inches apart from each other and yet miles apart in their relationship. But basically, that same person is an incredibly lonely person. Now, you've written a book called Loving People, How to Love and Be Loved. The topic today is how to love and be loved. What about that person? I mean, they're doing kind of all these right things. It looks good on paper, but if you really got to their heart, they're saying, you know what, I'm desperately lonely.
Yeah. When everything slows down, they really begin to experience it. You know, the thing about that, Jim, is a lot of people think the solution to that is, well, I just need more time. I need a date night, or I need, you know, to, you know, not take my job so seriously. Sometimes that's true, but if you try that and it's not working, the reality is that we get over engaged in our parenting or over engaged in our work because that's where we do better, and we are afraid of what would happen if everything slowed down.
So when you slow down, a lot of times people slow down, they'll say, gosh, I got depressed. I went on vacation. I felt depressed. And, you know, my husband and I didn't connect.
Yeah, and we had all this time together and it was horrible.
And what you're saying, it was because they were working so hard, really in some ways, to kind of run away from this loving need that they have.
Yeah. The lonely person is often a person who has what we call in the shrink world, what we call basic trust problems.
Yeah.
That for them, even though God designed love to be a wonderful, probably the most wonderful experience of receiving and giving, the connection and value you feel for someone and for God, it is a scary and often a destructive experience. It feels like if I let you in, you're not going to like me. You're going to leave me. You're going to take advantage of that. You're going to judge me. You're going to see me as less than. So they stay busy to stay away from that essential vulnerability you've got to have. And that's one point I make in the book is to be a loving person, sooner or later you're going to have to learn how to be vulnerable and open up, not to bad people, not to toxic people, but to some really good people who will like what they see.
Right. You know, it's funny. Somebody said something to me yesterday, and they said, you know, you seem to have a lot of grace. I said, well, I have grace because I'm in a men's group, and I have a wife, and I'm in these other people where when I offer vulnerability to them, they give me grace. They don't take me down. And in many ways, we've got to find people who are safe people who will give us that kind of grace and that kind of love, because then we in turn will then be able to do that.
Yeah. Otherwise, the internal judge in us will prohibit any kind of deep and meaningful connection.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Now, connection. You said the C word, connection here. And we talked in the previous program all about connection, the need for emotional bond and how we can get there. But you have five key aspects of love. And one of them was connection. We talked about that last time. But you also have one that I thought was interesting. You call it truth-telling. Mm. Honesty serves the other person.
Oh, that's a real kumbaya experience. Now let's learn how to tell the truth. People always have a hard time.
Well,
we
went from connection to now telling the truth. And, you know, I'm thinking back to experiences in my own life where I went, you know what, I'm not sure I really want to tell the person the truth because they're going to get defensive and they're not going to receive it well. Plus, I don't like to make people feel bad. Mm-hmm. But yet what you're saying is, in order to love and be loved, you got to tell the truth at times.
You know, if we go to Ezekiel 3 and 33, these two parallel passages, it says something kind of striking. It says, if you warn someone of their ways and they turn, great, their blood isn't on your hands. If you don't warn them and they die with their sin, it says, their blood's on your hands. That we have a duty, one of the duties of love is to warn each other, hey, your attitude is really hurting people, or that tone of voice really, you know, kind of people really shrink from that, or you don't do what you promise. And so part of love, we've got to get out of the idea that love is the fun stuff and truth is the not fun stuff. Give love more respect than that. If you truly love someone, you'll say, I know better for you, and I want better for you, and I know this isn't going to be fun, but I need to warn you about something.
Yeah, and really what you're also saying in your book, I read it, is timing is kind of everything. You don't do it in the heat of sometimes the emotion or whatever. You kind of wait, and you have that conversation at a later time. What if the person has low self-image? You know, your husband has a low self-image, your wife has a low self-image, your kids have low self-image, and so you say it, and you kind of throw this out there, but they get defensive, and they don't take it with the way where they say, thank you so much, John, for giving me that input because it really is going to benefit my life for the rest of life.
And thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. What they're saying is, yeah, but what about you? Yeah. And yet now you're kind of feeling like, well, this didn't work.
Yeah. You know, Henry and I wrote a whole book on that called Having that difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding.
Right.
Because, yeah, there are going to be somebody diverting or blaming or excusing. And what do you do then? Well, what I tell people to do when I train them this way is I say, You stop making the issue, and you make the process the issue. And you say, okay, I had no idea I was like, you felt attacked or persecuted or beat up by me. Tell me about that. And you kind of like put your issue on the back burner for a while, and you let them feel safe. Now, key point here is, though, you've got to sooner or later get back to your point. Don't let it rabbit trail forever until, you know, you never get to your point. Then you say, finally, you have to come to a point. Now, do you understand that I really want to hear truth from you and I want to hear feedback by you? Okay. Well, let me get back to my point. You know, when you said you'd pick up the laundry and you didn't, it really kind of messed up the whole family. So be empathetic, understand the process of their defensiveness and their feeling. Make it safe. Get back to the point.
Good input. John Townsend with us today as our psychologist of the day, our counselor of the day. I'm going to throw out a case study to you. Family has a somewhat of a toxic mother-in-law. Focus on the mother. And she's overweight. All of the kids should probably talk to her about this, but they don't want to do it.
Adult kids.
Okay. They don't want to do it because she's going to get defensive. She's not going to take it right. And so they just let it go. But it bugs them. But they just won't deal with it. What do you say to those adult kids about their mom, who in some ways is kind of slowly committing suicide?
Yeah, the morbidly obese problem.
Right, right.
First thing I would probably do to them is kind of activate the love they feel. You know, you've got to access that, because confronting someone who's defensive is one of the, you know, it's not a fun thing.
Yeah.
So you activate in them their care for her, their concern for her, and how they'd love to see her happy and they want to live a long time. And that helps them to have the courage they need to do the next step. But the next thing that I do with them, once they're kind of like into the feelings and how much they care, is I get them to bleed off the emotions they feel, the negative ones, to each other, not to mom. You know, you don't want to come in saying, I'm so tired of watching you do this. You're killing yourself. Mom's going to feel persecuted and judged, and it'll be over. You guys do that with each other. Process and bleed off those feelings. So the, by the time you get to her, you felt understood, you felt heard by somewhere else, and you can be neutral and loving and very direct, but they won't feel the anger and frustration so they can hear the truth.
Great input. John Townsend with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
And today here on the broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with Dr. John Townsend about how to love and be loved. John has written some outstanding books. You hear him on the Homeward program from time to time, and we recommend all of his books. As a matter of fact, all several thousand of them. Loving People is the one we're talking about today. And if you'd like to learn more about John's ministry, go to homeward.com, and we have a link today on our website to John Townsend's website where you can learn more about the ministry and what he writes about and what he speaks about. Of course, speaking of writing and speaking, Dr. Jim Burns rather prolific in that area as well. Homeward is the leading provider of parenting seminars in the United States, if not the world. And we have a number of different topics for seminars, generation to generation, building a family legacy, teaching your children healthy sexuality, the Sexual Purity Foundation, and more. If you would like more information on how to bring Dr. Jim Burns or one of our army of speakers to your church or to your event, just go to homeward.com, or you can send Becca Burns an email, becca@homeward.com. And we have more of today's program in just a moment as Homeward continues.
This is Jim Burns from Homeward with a real-life answer to a real-life question. And the question is, how do I keep my marriage a priority when my spouse and I spend so much time involved in activities with our kids? Well, it's no secret that your kids need you. They need your time, they need your attention, your love, and your support. That's a good thing. However, there's a tendency among parents to put the needs of our children ahead of our relationship with our spouse, and that's where we often unknowingly make a mistake. If you're neglecting your spouse, you're actually doing your kids a disservice, because children who grow up in a child-focused marriage will have a difficult time knowing what a good marriage looks like. Well, the quality of your marriage is huge when it comes to your child's sense of what the marriage is supposed to be. And when you make your relationship with your spouse a priority, you will provide a sense of security for your kids. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Refocusing to Make Your Spouse Feel Special Again, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward with Real Life Answers. Welcome back. John Townsend with us, How to Love and Be Loved, his new book, Loving People, How to Love and Be Loved. A great book, by the way. Psychologist, popular speaker, noted author. In fact, I told him just recently at a program we were both speaking at, I said, you have to be one of the finest seminarists in the entire world. He's written great books, over 4 million in print, which is an absolutely incredible thing. Co-written the Boundary Series with Dr. Henry Cloud, co-hosts the nationally syndicated radio program New Life Live, lives with his wife and sons in Southern California. You know, we're talking about love, and I think sometimes people say, I've got some people in my life who really probably could use some healing, and do they only need to go to a counselor, or can I actually help them through that healing process?
Yeah, there's this real, the kind of, I hear this a lot in the church, Jim, is that people feel so disqualified or underqualified when they've got a friend who is struggling or depressed or has an anxiety problem or a serious marital problem or maybe even a substance or drug problem. They think, what can I do? You know, I don't, there's so much that's wrong. And the reality is God has been equipping the church for years. Now, I'm a psychologist, and I believe in the process, and I appreciate everything that therapists bring to that and the health professions. But, you know, there's a lot that we can do. One thing I train people to do who aren't interested in a degree but just want to be a helper is to learn how to move towards pain.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I mean, because you write about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We tend to be kind of Christian cheerleaders. Huh? So when someone says, I'm having a down day, we think, well, I want you to have an up day. Have a latte on me. And, you know, and well, that's nice. I mean, people do need to be cheered up. But people who have a real struggle, you know, the Bible talks about weeping with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. And so I think the best thing for those people is to learn to restrain our urge to cheer them up, which is really an urge for us to not feel bad things ourselves. It's about us.
Right.
And to, when they say something like, well, it hadn't been that great, don't interpret that as, well, that means it wasn't horrible. Interpret the other way and say, tell me about that. Oh, you don't want to hear. No, I really do. And then when they talk about loss, when they talk about struggle or financial things, just say, tell me more about that. How'd that feel? You'll be amazed at the people that think you're the guru of the whole world because you actually sat there and listened to the deeper parts of their heart. And that does so much healing in and of itself. Listening does a lot of the healing.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And we have to help them in some ways get in touch with their pain so that they can move on.
Because they're often not willing to or afraid to at the same time. It takes a person to help us to get in touch with our pain.
Yeah. I remember an experience. This is not probably good counseling. You probably wouldn't pass me in one of your classes if you would.
You sound kind of negative about yourself.
But a guy was telling me just how messed up he was. And this was actually in a verbatim. You would understand this in terms of a counseling class I was taking. I had to write this verbatim, and he said how messed up he was. And I went, wow, you really sound messed up. And you know what? He went, well, I am. And at the end, it turned out being this great conversation when I didn't mean to say it that way. It just came out because I was in shock. My goodness, of course his life's messed up.
Well,
all
he probably felt seriously validated and identified with.
Exactly. And so what you're saying in this is that in order for people to heal, sometimes they got to go face into their pain, and you can help them do that by allowing them to have that conversation.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible talks about how sometimes a sad face on the outside can have a happy heart on the inside.
Yeah.
You touch people's sadness and it makes them feel happy.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Because somebody probably finally believes that you understand.
Or, yeah. So now I don't have to prove that I'm bad off because you're really there. I can relax.
How do you teach people to love by letting go and accepting what is what is?
Well, let's speak to all the control freaks out there in our radio family. One of the hardest things to do when someone doesn't see life our way or wants to leave a relationship or wants to leave maybe the more intimate parts of relationships and pulls away or withdraws is to let them do that. And it's something that God does all the time. You know, he talks about how when you read the Old Testament, he says, you know, come to me, obey me, hear me. But then he says, you got to choose. And we have a tendency to say, I'm going to make you love me. Or I want to change myself more so that you will love me. And that's a control thing too. And basically, nobody's ever going to love you who doesn't fully choose to love you. And you've got to give them the space and the room to do that.
It's interesting. One of the things you said in your book was sometimes the most loving thing for another is not your presence, but your absence.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're saying.
Well, you know the old country song, How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away?
I've not heard the song, and I love that title. I'm going to quote that.
A lot of times, we chase a person down, or we're too present with them, so they can never experience the loneliness and the missing of being around our grace and our love and our encouragement and our character. So if you allow someone to move away, all of a sudden, then they're out there without you, and then they feel the needs that they have for you. It's like when you let your three-year-old run a little bit far away from you. If you chase them down, they're going to run further. But if you stand there, they look around and think, uh-oh, it's not fun out here without her comfort and safety, and they come back.
Yeah, and really you have to do that sometimes with teenagers. They've got to fall and fail in order for them to actually come back to you and get the help that they need.
Sometimes. Yeah, they have dependency that they hate to have, but they have to experience that dependency and come back to you.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Well, you know, it's funny, when we first started talking about how to love and be loved, you know, a lot of people probably went right to the romance word, thinking, well, they're going to talk about romance. And obviously, romance is an important part of love. I mean, very important part. But people tend to go straight to romance when, in fact, what you're saying is to people, you're betting on the wrong horse when you attempt to make romantic love the way to deal with yourself in an unloved state.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people who say, well, I'll find love by having this romantic experience, when, in fact, that probably will take them away from love.
Huge, huge problem in our generation, in our culture, and in our church today, Jim, is the romanization of romance, where we really do, like you said, we put the cart before the horse. And the romance works the best. The way the Bible teaches this is that when it's built on your character and your appreciation of each other and knowing each other as well as your failings, then romance is great. But when you start with that, you know, I define romance as a temporary idealization of the other person and their wonderful aspects. If you don't know their negative aspects, stay away from most romance. But people who'd say, I know what a mess you can be, or how irresponsible you can be, or how much of a slacker you can be, and I still love you, there's true heat and true sexuality and true romance in that. That's the way to go.
Right. You know, I feel that with Kathy. With Kathy, she knows the good and the bad. And sometimes when you're in the kind of limelight that I would be in, or that you would be in terms of being in front of people and whatnot, she used to have, when I was a pastor, people would come and say, oh, it must be wonderful. He's so funny. He's so fun. She goes, yeah, he has smelly feet and he leaves his underwear on the...
the great correction.
Exactly. But she loves me anyway. Yeah. And I see that. And that's where I feel so secure. I think God does the same thing toward us. Mm-hmm. And so there's God's love that is... sure, a part of romantic love, but it's actually a part of this whole thing of love. You keep saying the scripture says. So you're getting your source from scripture when you talk about love.
Absolutely. You know, when I studied this, I studied all the aspects of the Greek and the Hebrew into that to see what it meant. And it was amazing how the different definitions, but the fundamental one that God uses in the Hebrew and the Greek has to do with love being a value. It's something I decide is important to me, and then the feelings and the actions come afterwards once I decide this is a value.
Well, that is very good. You know, we want love. We want to go toward love. But really, the way to get this is also to go towards God. God is love, as you said. John Townsend, thank you for being with us. Wonderful conversation today.
Thanks, Jim.
Dr. John Townsend has been my guest today on Homeward. We've been talking about how to love and be loved. And this is a topic that touches on just about every aspect of our lives because it affects every relationship. The ones on parent-child. Actually, your own parents. It affects your spouse, obviously, and even people sometimes at work in a different manner, but it is true. A lot of times people have a hard time loving and being loved because they're so self-centered. We live in such a self-centered, I-centered society today. Well, you know, it reminds me of a story, and it's not that funny of a joke, Roger, but I wanted to tell you this story, and,
okay.
You know, I guess we can have a listening meter by our listeners to see if they like the joke. But two men were backpacking out in the wilderness someplace, and all of a sudden they see a grizzly bear chasing him, and so the one guy turns, throws his backpack down, and the other guy says to him, you know, you can't outrun a grizzly bear. I mean, he's in panic as the guy takes off running. He says, well, I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. Basically meaning, gosh, I even got a laugh, you know,
from Ben,
pretty good deal. But the truth is that a lot of times we think about ourselves. And when we do that, we're not as loving. We're not showing empathy. We talked about empathy on the last program. Right. Let me tell you another story that I think is really neat. And it's a story that I also have told on this program before, but it's a story of the Special Olympics. And I just love the Special Olympics. And there was a 100-yard dash and all the kids came together. And, you know, they're not as serious, obviously, as the real Olympics that are coming up. But a little boy was running and he was actually out in front. When he fell, he skinned his knee and he started crying. The other kids ran past him. And then they all kind of stopped abruptly, about 8 kids. And they ran back. And one of the little Down syndrome girls, and I just love kids with Down syndrome, came and kissed him on the knee and said, it's going to be better. Oh. And at that point, they all locked arms and they ran across the finish line all together with the little boy.
Oh, that's great.
A great story. Yeah. But you know what? That's how we need to do life. And that's how we need to love, as opposed to trying to say what's in it for me and why doesn't he love me more? Why doesn't he treat me better? Why doesn't she do this or that? It's really about showing empathy and caring. And I think we can learn from actually both of those stories.
We certainly can, Jim. It's a great way for us to conclude today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. I want to remind you that we are streaming audio at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Our archival material is all available for you to access without cost or obligation. It's really very simple. Just go to homeward.com and you'll find it there. Also, if you'd like to podcast along with us, we do make our podcast available free, and we have a site on iTunes that handles that. Now, you can go to iTunes and sift through a couple million different podcasts, or you can go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, and hit the podcast button. And once you do, it takes you right to our site on iTunes. You can set up your free subscription, and then that way you can have Homeward on demand, as they like to say. The Monday through Friday edition of our program, the half-hour release, is available via the podcast, and we make that available to you as well through homeward.com. Jim, another conversation that parents are needing to have more and more with their kids is one about stewardship. It involves money, and we have some great new resources to share about how parents can do a better job of this with their kids.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
And we are very grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies. They are one of the leading real estate and investment trust companies on the West Coast. They specialize in helping people make good investments with their assets as far as real estate goes. But they also have a heart for ministry, and they have partnered with us to create these tip sheets that are biblical, and yet they're very practical for you as a parent. You don't have to go through a whole theological explanation of what money is all about. Just you can read these Bible stories, and then you can share them with your kids about how to be good stewards with money. Now, to go to homeward.com, you want to get these tip sheets, go to homeward.com, hit the Articles and Media section, and once you get to Articles and Media, type in the keyword steadfast, STEADFAST. It'll take you right to the tip sheets. You can read them, you can print them out, you can download them, you can share them with your friends. Again, you go to homeward.com, Articles and Media, and the keyword is STEADFAST. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.